Please open your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 544. Starting with verse 16, we'll read responsively through verse 23. Nehemiah chapter 4, page 544, verses 16 through 23. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bare burdens, with those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded, and he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us, and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save that every one put them off for washing. And let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this service. Help our hearts to be right with Thee, to be prepared for that which you've given the man of God. We put our trust and faith in Thee, first of all, and in the man you've sent us. And we're comfortable with that. We pray for your help now, your strength for the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you put the book of Nehemiah in the Bible. You must have had in mind times like this. I want to thank you for Nehemiah. Bless us tonight as we think of his time and we apply it to ours. In Jesus' name, amen. The children of Israel, Israelites, the nation Israel, at least those who were wealthy and middle-class people, the craftsmen, had been taken away for 70 years to the land of Babylon. They were captives and in bondage for those 70 years. 70 years before, the walls of the city had been destroyed and leveled to the ground. The beloved temple had been also destroyed, and the city had been ravished by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian armies, one of the most powerful armies that ever existed. The man Nehemiah, after 70 years of being away, he got a burden. He was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, who was the king over the captives. Nehemiah got a burden for his own homeland. Reports had filtered that the wall was torn down. Reports had gotten to Nehemiah across the miles that the city was ravished. Nehemiah went to King Artaxerxes and asked if he could go back and visit his beloved Jerusalem. And this he did. When he viewed the ruins of the walls, he wept, a tender-hearted man. I want to say this tonight. The most courageous people in the world are tender-hearted people. I mean, you check my record through the years. I've not been an attacker. I've not done it at all. I have not been the kind to attack I've been the kind to fight sin, but I've not been the kind to attack people or even fight back. And my heart is tender. In fact, I'll be quite frank with you. The hardest moment of my life now is when I wake up in the morning. First place, I wake up to the fact that it didn't go away during the night. I've done that for months and months now. It didn't go away. I've known that Mr. Sumner's dirty article was coming out. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell anybody. I think Dr. Evans and I talked about it a time or two because he found out about it also. But I wake up in the morning and have for months. The first thing I stop and realize, I feel rested and good, and then all of a sudden it dawns on me. It's still there. And I am not a fighter by nature. I'm really not. I don't like to fight. I'm willing to fight, but I don't like to fight. I'm going to fight, but I don't like to fight. I'm going to fight to the end, but I don't like to fight. And my first thought in the morning is maybe if I'd quit the fight. And then I have to stop and think and review again all the dirty, malicious, scandalous lies that have been spread about so many people that I love. Then I work myself up to a frenzy. And I'm ready to get back into battle. But the hardest moment of my life is the first few minutes in the morning, first 30 minutes in the morning, when I first wake up. Because I don't want to fight. What I want to do is I want to be kind and gracious. But anyway, Nehemiah was a very tender-hearted man. He stood there and he viewed the ruins of the city. It's described so vividly in the book of Nehemiah. He sees the walls torn down. Nehemiah goes to the people after he viewed the walls and wept because of their condition. Nehemiah says, "Let us build. Let us build." And the people start to build the wall around the city of Jerusalem. The wall torn down 70 years before by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. As soon as they started building, two men stepped up. One was named Sanballat, and the other was named Tobiah. And they started fighting against the building of the wall. Now I want to say again that this is a philosophical battle. The preachers around the country that believe in our kind of Christianity are lining up solidly behind the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Solidly behind. You heard a while ago, 176 churches to which our singing groups are going. We could go to three times that many if we had enough time. And I've got a stack of letters, I mean literally that high, in my office, and telegrams from preachers all over America and around the world. Of course, the pussyfoot and ear-tickling, back-scratching, penny-pinching, nickel-nipping, soft-soaping, pink-tin lemonade compromisers, they're not concerned. But I'm talking about real rock-rib, soul-winning, separatist fundamentalists. It's a philosophical battle. The battle is for our kind of Christianity. The battle is for house-to-house soul-winning. The battle is for street preaching. The battle is for separation. The battle is anti-liquor. The battle is anti-dope. The battle is anti-humanism. The battle is the anti-compromise. The battle is for old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching. The battle is for the preservation of Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, Lester Roloff, Oliver V. Green type preaching. That's the battle. That was the battle Sanballat and Tobiah came to fight. They first laughed at the builders of the wall. Laughed at them. Why, they said, even a fox would come down. And don't you minimize the strength of the builders of the wall. And I want to say this, and this sounds a bit cocky tonight, but I just feel a little cocky tonight. I want to say this tonight. I may lose this battle. I may do it. But if you're going to bet against me, I'd suggest you don't bet all the money on against me. Don't bet your life savings. I mean, if you want to bet a little bit against me, go ahead, take a chance. But take my advice and don't bet your life savings against me. They laughed. Nehemiah was trying to build a wall. Folks that don't build anything but snoop, they laugh at folks trying to build something. They laugh. They're not interested in people trying to give the deaf people a hope in life or a chance in life.
They're not concerned about trying to give the blind people eyes and comfort and help and strength. That's not news. Why don't somebody snoop to the deaf department and see what's going on there? Why don't somebody snoop to the blind department and see what's going on there? Why don't somebody snoop to the, as the mayor said this morning from this pulpit, he said, these people that go to these ghetto areas and risk their lives, and I mean that, risk their lives to help ghetto-bound people. I said this morning, I'll say it again tonight, they're not interested in people, they're interested in their social programs. We're interested in people. And by the way, we'll do more social programs accidentally than they'll do on purpose. So they laughed, but they kept on building the wall. And then Sanballat and Tobiah did something else. They mocked. They mocked. And they kept on building the wall. Then the Bible says they were filled with wrath, they were wroth, angry, but they kept on building the wall. The Bible says that they ridiculed and said they're not good builders. You didn't get a building permit, Nehemiah. They made fun of the wall. I want to stop and say something here, and just hear me carefully. I'm a little tired of Al Gomez being criticized. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of his building being criticized. We had a few bucks and gave him $1.98, and Mr. Nistie, he started off against Al Gomez. That's the first guy he attacked in this church. I'm sick of it. We didn't have much money. We gave Al Gomez $1.98 and said, build us a dormitory. He had to buy inexpensive materials. We haven't got the Southern Baptist Convention to finance our buildings. We haven't got the social program from Washington, D.C. to finance our buildings. We have no denominational support. We build on nickels and dimes, not dollars and silver and gold. We haven't got much money. We said to Mr. Gomez, you build us what you can for this. And he did. He did. And I'm sick up to here of Mr. Gomez being criticized. We finally gave him $1 million and said, build us a dining hall. And he built us the most beautiful dining hall in America. Make the most out of that. I'm just so tired of listening to folks scandalize people and criticize people and me just being quiet. I got 5 years of talking that's pent up to let out. And that's one of it. It's one of it. I mean, it's not Al Gomez's fault. It's the fault we didn't have the money. We had to build some dormitories. And by the way, Dr. Evans one time, he came from Tennessee Temple, and they have a lot of money. And Dr. Evans said one time, you don't mind me telling this. If you do, I'm going to tell it anyhow, but it'd be better if you don't mind. It's been years ago. And Mrs. Evans is behind this. It's been years ago. Dr. Evans said, preacher, why do we build buildings that are so rickety? He said, why can't we build buildings that are like Tennessee Temple has? I said, in the first place, we don't have the money. I said, in the second place, I don't want to. Because I said, every college in the whole world is going to deteriorate and go liberal someday. And when the liberals take over, I want the buildings to fall down the next day. Ever since then, Dr. Evans upset with me every time we put a good building up. People like to criticize Mr. Gomez. I want to say that I'm standing behind him. Even if he's wrong, I'm standing behind him because I don't like the folks that criticize him. So the Sanballat and Tobiah said, a fox can come and hit those buildings and tear them down. Then they wrote dirty letters. That didn't start now. Devils always use that. They wrote dirty letters against Nehemiah and against the people. And then Nehemiah said, I love this statement. Should such a man as I flee? Nehemiah said, I didn't start any fight. I was building the wall. But he said, I was attacked by Mr. Sanballat and Tobiah. And he said, I'm not running. I'm not running either. Somebody said, I came last Sunday night to hear your resignation. You came 20 years too soon. No, I'm not running. No, I'm not running. I'm not running for Mr. Nistick. I'm not running for Mr. Godfrey. I'm not running from Mr. Walt Hanford. I'm not running from the Hammond Times. I'm not running from the lawyer. I'm not running from anybody. Should such a man as I flee? Not on your life! Not on your life. No way. Then I want to read you scripture. They that builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laded, every one with his hands wrought in the work, the other hand on a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side.
Yes, sir. Had a sword girded by his side.
Sword and a trowel. What they had. Sword and a trowel. Had a sword in case, so they could have a right to build a wall. But there's no right and no use in using a sword to have a right to build a wall if you're not building a wall. So a sword in one hand, trowel in the other. That's exactly what I've got now. Sword in one hand and trowel in the other hand. They which build the wall on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with his hands wrought the work, the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side. And I said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We're separated upon the wall, one from another. What they did, they put, fellow had a trumpet. They were separated. Fellow had a trumpet. If Sanballat and Tobiah and their crowd came up, they just blew the trumpet. Put down the trowel and grabbed the sword. And all you got to do, enemies, is quit attacking, and I'll just lay down the sword and pick up the trowel. I'll shake your hand tonight. Put down your... Just quit attacking. Just quit attacking. But as long as you attack, I'm attacking back. But you just quit attacking, and the sword goes back in the sheath. But you keep on attacking, and the sword stays out. Stays out. Fellow said to me the other day on the telephone, said, Brother Hiles, I heard your sermon about your sermon last Sunday night. So aren't you being a little mean? 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 Did you read Mr. Sumner's hit rot? Did you read that garbage? Did you read it? Mean? You don't, in a wartime, you don't walk up and shake hands. You don't start a war by walking out shaking hands to the enemy and saying good luck. This is war. I mean, They have dropped a bomb on our Pearl Harbor. This is war. It's declared. I don't want anybody to get hurt, especially me. But I'm willing to get hurt if I have to. I'm saying that Nehemiah said, every man had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Now I want to say a word about the sword. We are in a fight to exist. I mean, our life is at stake. The life of this church is at stake. The ministry of this preacher is at stake. The life of fundamentalism in America is at stake. So, we've got to use the sword. I want to say several things. In the first place, defend this work. Defend it. Defend it. Everywhere you go, defend it. Defend it. Number two, defend Mr. Moffitt. Somebody poured manure on his front porch of the day. Defend Mr. Moffitt. Defend JoJo Moffitt. Defend Mr. Weaver. Defend Mrs. Nischick. Defend Mrs. Stevens. Defend Mrs. Hiles. Defend Mrs. Dodson. Defend Mr. Weaver. Learn the words, that's a lie. I'm not suggesting you hurt anybody. I'm suggesting that you defend. Learn the words, you're a liar. You're a liar. Learn him. You're a liar. Learn him. You're a liar. Learn him. Use them. Don't say we have philosophical differences. Oh, you're a liar sounds better than that. Don't you get upset with me. I mean, get upset with the people that started the war. Somebody said to me, some of my enemies said, we're afraid to come to church anymore. I said, join the crowd. I'm afraid to go down the streets of Hammond. I was afraid last Monday to walk to the platform of the church where I preached in Northern California. I'll just be honest with you. I was afraid. I wouldn't say I was afraid, but it wasn't easy for me to walk in here with all the visitors we had at our high school graduation night. I dreaded to walk into my own pulpit. And last night, I dreaded to walk in here. Visitors from all over Hammond. You know what they were thinking about. You know who they were looking at. It wasn't easy. I'm simply saying, put down your sword. We'll put down our sword. Keep your dirty sword up. Our sword stays up. So let's be gentle. You're not gentle in a war. I don't want anybody to get physically hurt. And I don't want anybody to be threatened even. But I don't like for folks to get upset because they are when I've been threatened for 5 months because of your dirty rot. When will the Hammond Times print my accusations against my accuser? They print his lies without one shred of evidence. My accusations can be proved. I can prove that my accuser asked a woman to run off with him, and I can prove it and bring the woman if I have to. I can prove. Trying to find what I can prove here. I can prove that he was found in a bedroom with his pajamas with a beautiful young lady late at night. I can prove it. You say, you shouldn't say that. I just did. I'm sick and tired for 5 years, my name being scandalized in conversations across this nation and letters going out all across this nation full of filthy, rotten lies and me saying, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Let me tell you some truth. I can prove the accusation of a young lady that worked where he worked who said that that she was told not to be alone in a room with him by the people that worked there. Got the letter in my office. Young lady's in this room right now. Mr. McCarthy, publisher of the Hammond Times, says they might be libelous statements. What about the charges against me, Mr. McCarthy? I can prove that at one place where he worked, he went to work one morning and was locked out of his office and told not to ever return. I can prove it. Take you to the building. Take you to the place. And other things that I'm investigating right now are going to make these look mild when I find out they're for true. You should have heard the question the Hammond Times reporters asked me about him the other night of the day. I won't tell you what it was, but you should have. I guess they'd heard something. But you should hear. It'd make these look like Sunday school picnics. Yeah, they'll print not one shred of evidence. Not one shred. They'll print that garbage. I can prove every statement I just made, plus a lot of others that I'm going to prove, and you come back for the next chapter regularly. They're articles. The Hammond Times articles are not in response to Mrs. Sumner, nor did Mr. Sumner, but Mrs. Sumner the one that alerted the Hammond Times. They were investigating us a long time before they found out about Mr. Sumner's articles. Last June, Mr. Sumner was not writing an article, and the Hammond Times was already investigating us. Checking parsonage purchases. Checking our buildings for fire codes. calling all over the country, checking the mortgages against our property, and trying real hard to find out if Brother Hiles has been dishonest financially. Read my lips. Every dime that comes into this church in our undesignated offerings goes exactly to the budget. And we live with that budget. We have often people who send money in from across the country. And they say, and this McKinney can vouch for this, they say, use this money any way you see fit. For any of your ministries, any way you see fit. Guess how I use that money? Any way I see fit. But the money is designated with that. Mr. Jack DeCoster has given us several hundred thousand dollars and said, use it anywhere you see fit. And if I didn't use it any way I saw fit, I'd be misrepresenting funds. And I rebel against anybody who insinuates that there's a financial dishonest bone in my body. I could have people, just like those two ladies this morning, I could have folks stand up all over this building tonight to whom I've given money and to whom I think I'll do it. All of you folks tonight, if I've given you some money at some time or the other, stand up. Would you please stand up all over the building tonight? If you'd like to, we'll wait to give you Hammond Times reporters time to count them if you want to. Thank you. Be seated. Boy, when you hit my morals and you hit my financial responsibility, you hit the strongest points I've got. If you want to hit my stubbornness, go ahead. There's not one ounce or drop of financial irresponsibility in my bones. Not one. I am saying that the Hammond Times started the campaign before Mr. Sumner did. And for them to, if they do imply that it was in response to Mr. Sumner's article, then they're lying. Now then, let me go to the trial. We must not stop building. People have come to me with the droves. Said, preacher, is there anything we can do for you? Yes, there is. Call me if you need me. I'm calling you. I've gotten letters, cards. People said personally, I'm available when you need me. I need you. I need every Sunday school teacher in this room. Listen, this summer, the future of fundamentalism is in the hands of this church. I need you. I need every Sunday school teacher in this room to build your class this summer. I need you to be faithful to that class. I mean, there's more to this now than just getting a good class. More to this than just breaking a record attendance. I need you to give the same emphasis this summer to your Sunday school class you gave during the spring program. I mean, we've got to hold up this summer. 1,000 of our students will be leaving. And this will be the last Sunday they'll be here. And our dormitory students, most of them be going home for the summertime. And we need you, Sunday school teachers, as we've never needed you in our life. Pick up the trowel tonight. Pick it up. Use it tonight. And the time you hear anybody attack the church, pick up the sword. But keep on building the wall. Keep on the job. Sunday school teachers, I need you. I need you. I'm saying I need you. I don't think I've said that a dozen times in 30 years, but I need you. I need you. This church needs you. Our colleges need you. Fundamental preachers need you. Jack Cleaver needs you. R.B. Willett needs you. Brother Dallas Dobson in Pasco, Washington needs you. Brother Larry Chapel in Long Beach, California needs you. And every preacher who stands like we stand in America needs you, Sunday school teachers. Pick up the trowel tonight. Get that Sunday school class. Work that Sunday school class. Contact your absentees. Be faithful to your class. Fill that class this summer. Use the trowel. I need you. I need every bus worker tonight. Every bus worker. I need you. You say, preacher, what can I do for you? I'm telling you what you can do for me. Keep that. Listen, don't let up next Sunday. It's graduation day. Don't let up next Sunday. No. Next Sunday must be a big Sunday. Our crowd's going to be down. 1,000 people at least that are gone. And with vacations, probably another 500 to 1,000. Every service will be gone on vacations. I need you. I need the buses. I need the bus workers. We need to hold it firm and hold it high and pick up the trowel this summer. I need you bus workers. I need every departmental superintendent. I need you to say, by the grace of God, I'm going to give it everything I've got this summer. I need you. What can I do? Brother Preacher, anything we can do for you? Yes, there is. Anything I can do to help you? Oh, yes, there is. Be here, superintendents. Build that department. Plan some kind of a special program to get your attendance up and keep it up this summer. It's not by accident that the attacks have come back this time. They know that next Sunday we will not have this many people here. They know that. How many of you are going home for the summer? Would you stand, please? I want to show you. Now, you're not. I don't blame you for going home. All of you stand. Look at there. Hundreds. Thank you very much. Be seated. Hundreds of people be gone. They won't be here next Sunday. They won't be here this summer. Some of them who didn't graduate this year, don't graduate, be back next fall. All of them who have courage will be back next fall. We need you. It's life or death. I mean it. It's life or death. It's life or death for this church. It's life or death for Howells Anderson College. And that's why I'm mad. I'm mad when a couple of people give their lives for the destruction of what we spent 30 years and I spent 30 years and this church has spent 101 years. And I'm also mad when folks come to church not to praise God but to take notes and try to dig up some garbage. That bothers me and I don't like it. You come to church, you're supposed to enter His gates with thanksgiving. Didn't say enter His gates with a sharpened pencil. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts of praise. Anybody comes to church here ought to come here to thank God and praise God and hear the name of Christ exalted and to sing the songs of God and rejoice in the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. You say, you upset? A little bit. I'm trying to breathe. I'm trying to stay alive. I need you, superintendents. You hold this summer. You teachers, Sunday school teachers. You bus workers. You superintendents, you hold this summer as no churches and nobody has ever held in their hands in the history of Christianity. You hold fundamental soul-winning separatist Christianity in your hands this summer. I need you. I need you to work. I need you teenagers to go to teenage soul winning. I need you foster club people to work like you've never worked before. I need you this week. I need you this next Sunday. I need you every Sunday in the summer. I need you. I need every member to be faithful to every service. I need, if there ever was a day when your presence meant something at First Baptist Church of Hammond, it's this summer. Just your presence. I need you to say, with the grace of God, I'll be in my place every Sunday this year at First Baptist Church of Hammond. I need you. I need those of you that take vacations. I need you to wait till Monday to go. If you're gone 2 weeks, just take one Sunday off. He said, what can we do for you, preacher? Call us if we need you. That's what I need. I need you to be here the last Sunday before you go. Don't need you leaving to go on vacation on Friday night or Saturday. Need you here, in your place. Don't need you to come back on Sunday for your vacation. Come back on Saturday. Get back in your place. Get back to church. Be here. Everybody that's here is a vote. Need you. I need your tithe. Because I need to mishandle some of it. I need your tithe so I can steal it for myself. Yeah, looks like a while ago I've been stealing it, didn't it? I need your financial support. If we don't have an offering increase of $4,000 a Sunday, we'll have how many people? 3,000? 3,500 people a Sunday that want to come to First Baptist Church that will not be able to come on our buses, and that starts next Sunday. 3,500 people who want to come to Sunday school next Sunday will not be able to come. Our offerings are the best they've been in the history of our church. But everything has skyrocketed. Prices have skyrocketed. We need you to double up on your giving. Need you to tithe and give offerings and help us keep these 3,500 people coming. I need you. I need my staff. I need my staff. I don't need my staff members now to let up this summer. I need you to give me a summer like you gave me in the spring. What can we do for you, preacher? We're for you all the way. I'm telling you what you can do for me. I need you. I need the staff, every member of the staff, to keep his work high. I need the Spanish work up. I need the bus ministry up. I need the public school students ministry up. I need the rescue mission up. I need every phase of our program. Need it up. The Seder ministry. All of it. All of it. Need you. We'll have people coming to visit our church from all of America, as we always do this summer. Now, with all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people stood a while ago, gone home for the summertime, they come in here and see a building that's half empty. They'll go back and say, yeah, that's what we heard. We'll have enemies come here and try to check and see. We need to be here. You need to be here. All summer, in your place. I need my staff. I need my staff. Not to spend a week getting ready for your vacation and a week getting over it. I need you to work up to the minute you leave and the minute you hit it. I need you to come back on the run. I'll tell you a story tonight. I'm going to call his name. One of my security guards. God bless those security guards. Boy, they watch over me like I was a precious piece of china. I'm not a piece of china, but I am very precious. But anyway, one of the guys that for several years has been one of my guards, his name is Lynn Gibson. Lynn's graduating this year, college. Lynn, very close to me, my buddy, like all of these guys are. Lynn's graduating. He's been employed by church. He and his wife both employed by church. Has his job. Ready to leave in a few weeks. Starting middle of August, his new job. Studied here for 7 or 8 years probably. Finally to graduate, to go out and work. Wrote me a note the other night. He said, preacher, I'm not going. I'm not going. I'm going to stay here and guard you. That's what he said. I need you. I need my staff. I need you to give it everything you've got. I need you to be here every Sunday in your place. I need my college students. I need my college students. I need you across the country to be goodwill ambassadors. I need you to tell what God is doing here at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I need you to, in your own mind, picture this crowd tonight and tell the people across the country how the crowds are. You're going to hear some criticism across the country. Learn to say it's a lie. You say, I'm a lady. I can't say that. Well, try saying, it's a lie. Comes out the same. Learn to say, shut up. The
This is the most important summer in the history of this church. Everything's at stake. Everything. I call you tonight. I call on you, every single person in this room. I call on you to do what you can to keep one hand on the sword. But don't forget, keep the other hand on the trowel. We've got to defend. We've got to defend. We've got to defend. Every time we're attacked, we've got to defend. But while we're defending, let's keep the buses rolling. Let's keep the old church filled. Let's keep the tithes coming. Let's keep the bills paid. Let's keep the Sunday school classes growing. Let's keep the departments on the move. The deaf, the blind, the educable slow, Spanish, Vietnamese. I want to say this before I close. Don't you feel too embarrassed to walk around town and say you're members of First Baptist Church? In the first place, you've got an opportunity to stand up like you've never had in your life. But the second place, I want to tell you something, second place, the civilian population of the city of Hammond basically for us. How many of you have talked to somebody that in this area that does not go to this church who said that they believe it's all a lie? Raise your hand. Would you please? Look at there. Stand up. I want to show you. Look at there. Now, I'm simply saying these people have heard people in the Calumet region say they don't come to this church, but they don't believe the garbage. Thank you very much. I'm talking about businessmen all over this area. People have come to me and said, certain businessmen said, tell Reverend Hiles we're for him. All over the place. You're not alone. We're not alone in this battle. Not alone. Not alone at all. But we've got to make the summer. I wouldn't be quite as urgent in what I'm saying tonight if it were January right now or October. But we're facing right now the most difficult time in the life of any church, summertime. All across America, you hear the term summer slump. Summer slump. I want to have a slumber hump this year. Slumber jump. Summer jump. Summer bump. But no summer slump. I'll be honest with you. I wish it weren't summer. I wish it were February, January. I wish it were October or November. I wish we could face this battle with all of us together. But we can't. But those of us that are here have got to give our best to defend with the sword and build with the trowel. And those of us that are going to be scattered across the country have got to defend what's precious to us. I'll let you students that are going out, I'll let you know what kind of friends you are in September. We'll know then. We'll know then. I was at used to have a church down in East Texas in the country. Used to have a man, never went soul winning, never witnessed, never passed out a gospel tract, never won anybody to Christ. But every time we'd have a testimony meeting at the church, he'd be the first one up. And this is what he'd always say. I'm just always glad to say a good word from my Lord. I felt like the lady, nagging wife, brought her husband to church one day and she said, Lord of God, I'm filled with the Spirit. Her husband punched her and said, babe, you sprung a leak. I'll tell you what you are in the September. Well, I'm always glad to say good word from my Lord. I said one day to him, yeah, always at a prayer meeting. But out yonder in the factory, you're not interested in saying a word for your Lord. You're like the Arctic River. You're frozen at the mouth when you're out yonder where the enemy is. I'll tell you, students, what kind of friends you are this September. After you've gone out yonder and faced the country, I'll tell you what kind of friends you are. It's easy to stand here and say, amen. But you go out yonder and hear some long, forked-tongued person criticize this church and this ministry. We'll find out what kind of friends you are then. I need you. I need you desperately. I need you not for my sake. I could lay down my sword tonight. I said last Sunday night, and spend the rest of my life doing nothing but preaching around the country. Every one of these 176 churches they mentioned, every one of them would give their eye teeth to hear me, have me come preach for them. Every one of them. That booked me solid for 3 years. But there's more to it than me. There's our brand of Christianity. I'm talking about old-fashioned, rip-snorting, hell-raising, barn-storming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling, soul-winning, Christ-honoring, sin-fighting, hell-hating Christianity. It's at stake. This is the headquarters. You folks don't understand it. This is the headquarters of it. They've attacked the headquarters. You know why I attacked the headquarters? Let me tell you the sweetest letter I got. No. Not sweetest, but the toughest one. At the toughest time, the one I got. I got to tell you. The first sermon I preached around the country after the article came out from Mr. Sumner. I was preaching in my good friend, and I mean that, Larry Chapel, Long Beach, California, the next Monday. And of course, everybody looks at me, and I feel like I felt the morning after I had my problem at Bob Jones. When I walked in here, and everybody, I felt like Lazarus who just been raised from the dead walking in here. Some of you folks remember what I said. I said, I found out what it was. It was AIDS and sickle cell anemia. But anyway, I went to Long Beach, first time I'd preached since the dirty, rotten, stinking, scandalous article came out. I dreaded being met at the airport. I really did. I dreaded walking on the platform. People looking at me, my friends looking at me to see how I was looking handsome as usual. Boy, your amens were very, very weak on me. I mean, the thing that hurts me the most is my Howells Anderson girls even failed me on that one. Yeah. Show us your muscle. Shut up. Don't ever say that to me. I'm hurt. But I was sharing the pulpit with Dr. Tom Malone, whom I think is the greatest pulpiteer alive. And I don't say amen, I say he's the greatest pulpiteer alive. And of course, you wonder what everybody's thinking. And I wondered what Dr. Malone was thinking. I got to the airport. Brother Larry Chapel met me at the airport, he and his son. And he said, Dr. Howells, I got two letters for you. He said, one's from Brother Ray Young. I wasn't surprised at that. Just a little letter saying he loved me. But he said the other is from Dr. Tom Malone. He didn't want to wait to give it to you when you got to the hotel. He sent it to the airport. He wanted you to read it at the airport. And I opened it. Trembled. I really did. I trembled. And it said, Dr. Hiles, something like this, almost word for word. I'm so glad to be with you this week. He said, I'm for you, and I'm fighting for you. He said, the devil always shoots at the leader. And he said, you're the leader of our team. God bless him. God bless him. You don't understand a lot of this stuff, but Monday, the next Monday, he flew to a conference in another state. He stood up and he said, well, folks, I just got back from Long Beach, California, where I was with Dr. Jack Hiles in a meeting. Somebody that was there told me that the crowd exploded to their feet with a standing ovation. I'm simply saying, and I really hate to close. I hate to close, and I hate to finish tonight because this is the last Sunday night I've got you. This before the summertime. Next Sunday night's crowd won't be like this. It won't be like this next Sunday night. Listen, we've We've got to give it our best. We've got to do it. Those of you who are here, you've got to give it your best. And those of you who are gone, you've got to keep your old sword sharpened. Now, when you go home, young people, when you go home, use the sword of defense, but pick up the trowel when you go home, too. Go to your preacher and say, "What bus route you want me to work on this summer?" Go to your preacher and say, "When's soul winning time? I want to be here." Encourage him. Stand beside him. Use the trowel. And use the sword. Shall we stand? The choir.